We're waiting to hear from Predators chief amateur scout Jeff Kelton. He should be calling in to the show here very, very soon. Back here on 3D, Darren, Derek, and Donick with you. The Predators in the first round. They had pick 30. Took a young man from Finland.
I will tell you a story.
By the way, real quick, I think they did what they've done a lot in the past. Let's see. They drafted a tall goalie. They drafted a defenseman. They drafted a couple guys who could score. Let's see. They drafted a Finn. And maybe they're back in the Russian market. Maybe it's enough time has gone by. Maybe they're back in with Russians. They drafted a Russian. So who knows? Who knows what that means?
I'll tell you a story, and Jeff can speak to this. But they drafted this kid, Tolvanen. Did I say it right? Tolvanen? Ellie?
Sure.
I think that's right. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Let's go with it. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
They had, like, a number of teams. You know, they have the new jersey that as soon as you draft the guy, you put the jersey, you put mm-hmm. the hat on, and those guys wear it around both days. By the way, the jersey for the Predators, the new jersey, when you see it live, it pops.
I've told everybody. It's not – I'm okay with it.
I really like the new jersey.
I like it. I know people are – it's plain. I like it.
Don't judge it by the picture. You got to see it when it's live. It looks
see
great.
See it to believe it.
It looks great.
All right, let's go. I think.
Okay, so we'll tell this story
a
little
bit later.
Yeah.
We'll pause and we'll come back. Predators chief amateur scout Jeff Kelty is on the line with us. Jeff, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great. So I'm not going to ask you the obligatory, so what did you think of the draft? You know, because nobody ever comes out and says, man, we really stunk it up. We didn't get anybody we wanted. We know what you're going to say. So just kind of take us through how this works as you guys prepare for your picks, and then when it actually plays out, were you pleased with kind of how you saw it playing out in your minds before the draft? Did it play out that way, or was it totally different?
Well, you're always prepared for everything, and you kind of hope that it'll play out certain ways. I mean, that's all part of the preparation because you're ready for scenario A, B, C, D, and so on as to how it can all play out. But in this case, this year, we felt that it played out very well for us in terms of the players that fell to us. There's a lot of I always describe the whole draft process as there's all the work that you do all year long with the scouting and the meetings and the reports and the building a list and whatnot. And then there's the strategy part of it where you're trying to come up with a way to kind of match your picks up to your list and acquire draft players that you want. And in this case this year, we really felt that the preparation paid off and we really got players that we wanted on pretty much every pick. So all in all, we were not to sound like you're saying at the beginning there, but we're pleased with the way it went.
So this franchise has done an unbelievable job of drafting. The Predators have been right up there with, when you ask people around the league, they're going to identify the Predators as one of those franchises that does a tremendous job on draft day. Is it a tough balance, Jeff, whenever you guys are discussing position of need or just the best player on the board? Because, as you know, there's a difference. If you're looking for a defenseman at this particular round, but there's a guy who doesn't play that position, and overall you think he's the best player available, how do you guys juggle that? How do you approach drafting a position of need as opposed to just what you think is the highest-rated guy on the board?
Well, we always talk about those things. If there's a certain type of player, that we really feel like we want or need. I mean, we'll say it all the time, we could really use a guy like that or what have you. But I think that underneath all of that, our motto of taking the best player kind of trumps everything because, we're not the NFL, we're not the NBA. We are drafting players and putting them right in your lineup. I mean, occasionally you're up at the top where you get your Seth Jones or whatever it is where he's going to be able to step right in. But, for the most part, these guys are future assets. And so when that's the case, I mean, I think that you're always trying to just take the best player because, you want to get an asset, somebody that, that you know, that will help your organization down the road. I mean, the reality of it is, a lot of these guys, it takes them, you know, takes them a few years to get in the league, and then even then, it takes them some more time beyond that to really make the contributions. You know, I use the example of this past playoffs, you know, where Colton Sissons and Pontus Aberg really came in and played crucial roles for us in the playoffs. Well, those guys were drafted in 2012, so it really takes, you know, 4 to 5 years for guys to really come up and through. And so when that's the nature of it, I think that, you know, you're just always trying to make sure that you get an asset, get the best player. And then there's always the business side of things that can happen where, you know, you trade your Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson. If you don't have the best asset, you can't make that trade. So, you know, I'd be lying if I said that we didn't look at our depth chart and say, well, you know, we've drafted more D, we've got more forwards, or what have you. But I think that, you know, you always do the best if you get the best player. So
Jeff Kelty on the line with us, Predators chief amateur scout. Round 2, pick 61. Did you draft Grant Mismatch because he has an awesome name, or because you think he's going to be a pretty good player, or both?
Well, it was the name.
Yeah.
First priority.
I mean, you got to love Mismatch. I mean, that is just an awesome hockey name.
Yeah, you're not the first person that said that. But, you know, he's one of those, he's one of those stories that you hear really is true. I didn't think he would be there. I think that, pretty much everything you saw had him going late first, early second, or what have you. Really good offensive player. He's got great skills, great ability to make plays, great shot. You know, good size, very strong on the puck, you know, circles down and whatnot. He's just got to continue to round out his whole game, mature, get a little bit quicker. But he's going to a great place to do that at North Dakota. So, you know, like I said, with pretty much all of our picks, we were happy with that one as well.
Now, Jeff, this season has been unlike any other season where up until this point you guys have done well in the playoffs, but this year obviously getting to the Stanley Cup and pretty much keeping your team somewhat intact. You lost a few players here and there, but pretty much the core guys have been kept intact with some of the younger guys as well. Going into the draft, when you're drafting in a year like this where you don't necessarily need much, but you do need the depth, but you don't need a lot, is when you draft a guy, is it predetermined how many years he stays in the minors? Or it's, you know, he stay there 1 or 2 years. If he's good enough, he can come up knowing that you still have these younger guys that are still under contract.
I mean, again, I think that the main goal is to get the best player or, you know, the best asset. And, you know, some of them are on different timetables. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that one guy goes ahead of another just because he's going to make it quicker. You know, I mean, you see it all the time where, you know, one guy will play quicker, but the other guy has a better career. And, you know, and that's really what you want. And that's how you develop your core. You know what I mean? If you drop the guy that gets there quickly, but he's not really a key piece for you, a key contributor, then, you know, to be a core player, you got to be with your team for a longer period of time, I think. And, you know, if you get that guy, maybe it takes a little bit longer, but he's there longer, and therefore he, you know, is a bigger part of your core. So, again, I think that's part of it's the, like I said, you go to the NFL draft and you hear them talk on TV as it's playing out. Well, you know, they think they're going to take a running back or a tight end or whatever it is because, you know, they can plug them right in. Well, it's not as much like that in this case. You know, You're always trying to have enough assets to do different things later on down the road as far as the business is concerned. So, you know, that's always just the model that we try to go with.
Jeff Kelty, the Predators' chief amateur scout, is on the line with us here on 3D. And, Jeff, you sort of threw this in there with Mismatch that you were surprised that he was there. The same could be said, true, about Elie Tolvanen in the first round. I think he slipped by a lot of people's standards. Did you guys look at that and say, "Wow, this guy's still here. We got to jump all over him"?
Yeah, we were very surprised. I mean, in terms of the players that I thought that maybe we were going to get, you had a pool of players that as the draft started to play out, like, you know, that are on a list, and you're saying, okay, well, you know, here's a couple of guys that are still there that have a good chance to get to us. Tolvanen was still on our list, but it was, you know, when you're getting into the early 20s or around 20 or so, you're still going, okay, well, it's just a matter of time. He's going to go any one of these next couple of picks. But sure enough, he made it all the way to us, and we were thrilled with it. I mean, that's just the way the draft goes. I think that, you know, one of the things that I was saying to David Poyle a couple of weeks ago, when he was asking me who I think we're going to get, and I just said, you know, every year at the draft, we make our pick in the first round, whether it's 15, 20, whatever it is, and there's always that one player that slides, and we go back after the first night, we have our meeting, and we're sitting there going, you know, is there any way we can move up and get that 31st, 32nd pick to take the guy? And I said, well, that's the guy we're going to get. And that would have been the case this year. I mean, we had him a lot higher, and he slipped all the way down, and you know, we had that 30th pick, and we're more than happy to call his name. So, you know, again, there's a lot of things with the draft that you can't always control, because you're competing against now it's 30 other teams, so to speak. But you know, when it plays out the way you hope, it's certainly a good feeling.
Jeff, you've got the prospect camp this week where you get a look at these guys all together with some of the guys you've drafted in these last couple of years. As you mentioned, it's a process. I keep hearing a lot about a couple of guys you drafted last year, and Sam Girard and Dante Fabro. I'm sure you're excited to see them now a year later after you drafted, because they both, from what I'm told, have had really good first seasons as 18-year-olds.
Yeah, they did. You know, and that's one of the real cool parts about this week. You know, it's not just for the guys that you just drafted over the weekend. It's the guys that you drafted a year ago, 2 years ago. You get this really, you know, we obviously keep track of these guys over the course of the year, and our development coaches, Scott Nickel and Wade Redden, are constantly tracking these guys. But this week, you really get a hands-on, you know, experience with the kids for the whole week, where you're with them every day, you're watching them on the track, you're watching them skate and practice and all that sort of stuff. You're getting a look at them physically as to how much they've developed over the course of 1 year. So it's really a neat process to watch that take place. But as far as those two guys go, Fabro did everything you would have expected in his first year at BU. He stepped in at a top flight program right away. He played top 4 minutes, played every situation, played on Canada's team at the World Junior Championships, where they won a silver medal. And, you know, he's got great instincts to just play the game. And he's got a little bit of a Ryan Suter type of quality to him, where he just has great sense in every situation. Just needs to continue to develop his body. But from all the reports that I'm getting, he's had a great summer of training so far. And so, you know, that's kind of like one of the things I was talking about, where you're curious to see, you know, how these guys are coming along in their development. And then Sam Girard is just a dynamic player. He's not the biggest guy, but a terrific skater, terrific puck carrier. Scores pretty well over a point a game in the Quebec Junior League for a couple of years now. You know, he'll be a dominant player in that league again this year. Now, he's not the biggest guy, but again, it's sort of like I'm talking about with the process, where you see him yesterday, and you see that he's starting to put on weight, starting to get bigger and stronger, starting to, you know, become a man. So all that's exciting when you know the talent of these players and what they can do, but then you start to see the physical development, the maturity. You know, they're getting closer to being NHL players. So it's a good week.
Jeff, as we let you go, one of my favorite things about this weekend, where I'm thinking to myself, boy, the Predators have arrived, is when roll call was happening from that time all the way to the very last pick you guys made, which was the second to last pick in the entire draft. Every time they said, the Nashville Predators are on the clock,
they booed.
The boos were raining down from the United Center. I was like, this is great. The Predators have now made it. They are in the heads of the Chicago fans.
I got to say, I enjoyed that, because they'd call out and they want your roll call from you, and you call out your names, and then they say Nashville Predators, and you just get to wait for a few seconds and soak in the booze a little bit before you call our names. So that's,
and Jeff, pretty, by the way, for people that don't know, Jeff is the guy that speaks into the micro after the first pick, where everybody walks up to the stage. The second day, Jeff has to wait for the booze to stop before he speaks into the mic from their table and says who they pick.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Is it weird everybody having a table right there on the floor together? Like, you're all smashed in there together. I mean, that's a lot of talking going on around you, a lot of strategizing Everybody.
And plus, of course, as soon as David Poile gets up from the table and starts talking to anybody, whether it be Jeff or the coaching staff, everybody starts like, oh, wait a minute. Is there going to be a trade?
Right.
There could be a trade.
That's weird. Like, you're not in a war room. It's so strange to see that.
No, it's definitely, like every league has their different traditions or whatnot. It's the way they do it. And it's just the way we've always done it. But I think everybody enjoys it because, you have all your personnel from our scouting and hockey operations personnel from the whole league right in one spot. It's probably part of the reason why there's so many deals that take place as the trade goes on, because you got 31 general managers all within 200 feet of each other. So
yeah,
so
it's a good point.
I think it's a pretty cool atmosphere the way it all plays out.
I wish you guys, Jeff, had the last pick in the draft. That would have been even cooler. But you know what? Second to last pick isn't bad either. If you know what I mean.
That's the plan for next season.
Yep, I like it. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, no problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, that is Jeff Kelty, Predators' chief amateur scout, and the picks are in. Willie was there. We'll talk about that on the other side when we come back. You're listening to 3D, ESPN 102.5, The Game.